Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Off, the ninth parak, Misha Meis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the previous Mishnah discussed one who says he'll give his future child 100 zuz if it's a boy, and 200 if it's a girl. This implies that the bas adifalei meben, that a daughter is preferable to him over a son, which is why he would give more to a daughter. And the Gemara asks if Rabbi Yochanan said that whoever does not leave behind a son to inherit him, Hashem is malei lav evra, filled with anger against him. The Gemara answers in Yerusha ben Adiflei, regarding inheritance, the son is preferred by him because the estate remains with his family. Linyan Harvalka bito Adiflei, regarding generous provision, a daughter is preferred by him, meaning one is likely to give more generously to his daughters who cannot provide for themselves as easily. The Gemara's third answer attributes this mission to Rabbi Yehuda, who said, it's a mitzvah to support one's sons, and kal vachomer to support his daughters, the lo utazlan, so they're not demeaned by having to seek their own sustenance. Point number two, in the Gemara's second answer, Shmuel said our Mishnah is discussing a mevakeres, a woman giving birth for the first time. Here, a father prefers that the child should be a girl because Rav Chissa said, "Bas tchila siman yafu lebanim," a daughter first is a good sign for sons. This is explained in two ways. Some say because she raises her younger brothers, and some say, "Deloshatabe ein abisha," because the Iva'a will not have power over him since he didn't have a son first. Rav Chissa said, "Lididi ben nasan adifin la bimini," and for me, daughters are better than sons. Tosos explains that his sons-in-law were from the greatest of the generation. And point number three, a man once gifted his property to the future child of his pregnant wife. Rav Huna ruled that this is a case of transferring possessions to a fetus, but mazakul uber wakana, and one who transfers possessions to a fetus, the fetus does not acquire them. Rav Nachman objected that our Mishnah teaches that if one says that my wife has a son, he'll receive 100 zuz, the son receives the gift. Rav Huna responded, Mishnah Seinu, Enu Yodea Mishnah. I don't know who taught our Mishnah because it doesn't accord with any known Tana's opinion. The Gemara asks that perhaps the Mishnah reflects Rav Meir's opinion that Adam Makna Davish Lobo Olam, a person can transfer something which has not yet come into the world. It answers that Rav Meir only discussed transferring property, Ladavish Yeshna Bolam, to someone who exists in the world, but we have no source that Rav Meir would validate transferring property to a recipient who does not yet exist, such as an Uber. On Daf Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Yochanan rules that a gift to an Uber is an effect, but explains our Mishnah's ruling, since a person's mind is close to a son, he has complete intent to transfer the gift to him. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the previous Mishnah discussed one who says he'll give his future child 100 zuz if it's a boy and 200 if it's a girl. This implies that the bas adifalei meben, that a daughter is preferable to him over a son, which is why he would give more to a daughter. And the Gemara asks if Rabbi Yochanan said that whoever does not leave behind a son to inherit him, Hashem is malei lav evra, filled with anger against him. The Gemara answers in Yerusha ben Adiflei, regarding inheritance, the son is preferred by him because the estate remains with his family. Linyan Harvalka bito Adiflei, regarding generous provision, a daughter is preferred by him, meaning one is likely to give more generously to his daughters who cannot provide for themselves as easily. The Gemara's third answer attributes this mission to Rabbi Yehuda, who said, it's a mitzvah to support one's sons, and kal vachomer to support his daughters, the lo utazlan, so they're not demeaned by having to seek their own sustenance. Point number two, in the Gemara's second answer, Shmuel said our Mishnah is discussing a mevakeres, a woman giving birth for the first time. Here, a father prefers that the child should be a girl because Rav Chissa said, "Bas tchila siman yafu lebanim," a daughter first is a good sign for sons. This is explained in two ways. Some say because she raises her younger brothers, and some say, "Deloshatabe ein abisha," because the Iva'a will not have power over him since he didn't have a son first. Rav Chissa said, "Lididi ben nasan adifin la bimini," and for me, daughters are better than sons. Tosos explains that his sons-in-law were from the greatest of the generation. And point number three, a man once gifted his property to the future child of his pregnant wife. Rav Huna ruled that this is a case of transferring possessions to a fetus, but mazakul uber wakana, and one who transfers possessions to a fetus, the fetus does not acquire them. Rav Nachman objected that our Mishnah teaches that if one says that my wife has a son, he'll receive 100 zuz, the son receives the gift. Rav Huna responded, Mishnah Seinu, Enu Yodea Mishnah. I don't know who taught our Mishnah because it doesn't accord with any known Tana's opinion. The Gemara asks that perhaps the Mishnah reflects Rav Meir's opinion that Adam Makna Davish Lobo Olam, a person can transfer something which has not yet come into the world. It answers that Rav Meir only discussed transferring property, Ladavish Yeshna Bolam, to someone who exists in the world, but we have no source that Rav Meir would validate transferring property to a recipient who does not yet exist, such as an Uber. On Daf Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Yochanan rules that a gift to an Uber is an effect, but explains our Mishnah's ruling, since a person's mind is close to a son, he has complete intent to transfer the gift to him. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Mem Off, and this Siman is a combination of suggestions. One from Chesky Halberstam, who suggested first person, and Eitan Waxman, who suggested a first prize. We're going to combine it to be a first place winner. A first place winner. So here goes. The husband running a first place in the family contest, who promised $100 of prize money to his future firstborn child if it's a boy, and $200 if it's a girl, hoped that it would be a girl since bas tchila siman yafal abanim, and patiently waited to give the money after birth since hamazakul uber volkana. Once again, slow motion. The husband running a first place in the family contest, that must be Moran Duff, Kuf Mem Off, first place winner. The husband running a first place in the family contest, who promised $100 of prize money to his future firstborn child if it's a boy, and $200 if it's a girl, which reminds us the previous mission discussed one who says he'll give his future child 100 zuz if it's a boy and 200 if it's a girl. This implies that bas adifa lema ben, that a daughter is preferable to him over a son, which is why he would give more to a daughter. And the Gemara asked if Rabbi Yochanan said that whoever does not leave behind a son to inherit him, Hashem is malei lav evra, filled with anger against him. The Gemara answers, L'inyin Yerusha ben Adifle. Regarding inheritance, the son is preferred by him because the estate remains with his family. L'inyin Harvalka bito Adifle. Regarding generous provision, a daughter is preferred by him, meaning one is likely to give more generously to his daughters who cannot provide for themselves as easily. So the husband running a first place in the family contest, who promised $100 of prize money to his future firstborn child if it's a boy, and $200 if it's a girl, hoped that it would be a girl since bas tchila siman yafal abanim, which reminds us, in the Gemara's second answer, Shmuel said our Mishnah is discussing a mevakeres, a woman giving birth for the first time. Here a father prefers that the child should be a girl because Rav Chisda said bas tchila siman yafal abanim, a daughter first is a good sign for sons. This is explained in two ways. Some say because she raises her younger brothers, and some say doshata ba'in the bisha, because the evil eye will not have power over him since he did not have a son first. So the husband running a first place in the family contest, who promised $100 of prize money to his future firstborn child if it's a boy, and $200 if it's a girl, hoped that it would be a girl since bas tchila siman yafal abanim, and patiently waited to give the money after birth since hamazakul uber volkana, which reminds us, a man once gifted his property to the future child of his pregnant wife. Rav Huna ruled that this is a case of transferring possessions to a fetus, hamazakul uber volkana, and one who transfers possessions to a fetus, the fetus does not acquire them. So once again, the husband running a first place in the family contest, who promised $100 of prize money to his future firstborn child if it's a boy, and $200 if it's a girl, hoped that it would be a girl since bas tchila siman yafal abanim, and patiently waited to give the money after birth since hamazakul uber lokana. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Kuf Lamed Zayin, so the siman daf Kuf Lamed Zayin is a closet. So here goes. The cunning Russia who hid in the closet. Closet? That must be on daf. Kuf Lamed Zayin. The cunning Russia who hid in the closet after advising the man who received the land with instructions, Acharech Laploni, to sell, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice that if one says, Nachasai Lacha, Vacharech Laploni, my properties are yours, and after you die, they go to Ploni, and the first recipient sold the property. Rebbe says the second recipient can take the properties from the buyers because the sale is void. Mishnah Gamliel says, Ein lo sheni el ma sheshiya rishon. The second recipient has nothing but what the first recipient left for him. The sale is valid and nothing is left for the second person. According to Rabbi Yochanan, these Tanaim argue about whether or not Kinyan Peros is equal to Kinyan Aguf, which would enable the first recipient to sell the property. Reish Lakish disagrees. So the cunning Russia who hid in the closet after advising the man who received land with instructions, Acharech Laploni, to sell, and didn't realize he would try to give it away with a Matna Shchimira, which doesn't work, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan says halacha follows from Shimon Gamliel that the first recipient's sale is valid in the case of Acharech Laploni. But Rabbi Shimon agrees that if he gave it away as a matna shchimira, a gift of a gravely ill person, it's not effective. Abai explained, matna shchimira lo kana el lachar misa. A shchimira's gift only takes effect after his death, and by then the after you were second recipient already preceded him by acquiring it when the first recipient died. So the cunning Russia who hid in the closet after advising the man who received the land with instructions, Acharech Laploni, to sell, and didn't realize he would try to give it away with a matna shchimira, which doesn't work, had a good laugh when he overheard a person being given a cow, almanach zlachzir, bimakdishet, which reminds us, Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying that if one gave another a shor, on condition that he returns it, and the recipient was makdishet and then returned it, arzim mukta shemuchzir, it's both consecrated and returned. It's being made hektish does not detract from his returning it. Rava asked Rav Nachman, but what did he return to him? He can't use it. Rav Nachman replied, but what is he removed from him? The ox was physically returned. The Gemara concludes that if he said, on condition that you return it, this returning is sufficient. But if he said, on condition that you return it to me, he was telling him to return something useful to him. Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. So the Simra Daf Kuf Lamed Ches is based on Kelach, a stock, and we use a Maror stock. So here goes. After the Maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, that must be run Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, Maror stocks. After the Maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, to a friend, who was quiet at first and then protested that he didn't want them, which reminds us, it was taught in Brice that if one writes all his assets to someone, which included slaves, and the recipient said, I don't want them, the Tanakhama says that if the second master is a Kohen, the slaves may eat truma because the gift took effect. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says his protest voids the gift, and the first owner's heirs inherit the slaves. They argue, Shazikolo al Yadei Acher, where he transferred it to him through another person who acquired it on the recipient's behalf, and the recipient was initially silent and later protested. The Tanakhama holds that his initial silence proves he wanted it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, Hochiach sofal tchilaso. His eventual protest proves the intent of his initial silence. He never wanted it and was initially silent because he reasoned, as long as they did not reach my hand, why should I protest? So after the Maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, to a friend who was quiet at first and then protested that he didn't want them, he brought a dish of Maror stocks to his dying father, who was giving instructions to give 200 zuz to Reuven, and after him 300 to Shimon, and after him 400 to Levi, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses when the order in a Shechimera's gift indicates the recipients acquire sequentially. If he said, give 200 zuz to Ploni, and after him 300 to Ploni, and after him 400 to Ploni, then we do say, kol kodem shar zocha, whoever comes early in the shtar acquires earlier, because this expression indicates that he wants the gifts to be conveyed sequentially. Therefore, if someone produces a shtar that the Shechimera owed him money, govim min acharon, he collects the entire amount from the last recipient. If his gift is not enough to cover the debt, govim mishalafanav, he collects the remainder from the recipient before him, and so on. So after the Maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, to a friend who was quiet at first and then protested that he didn't want them, he brought a dish of Maror stocks to his dying father, who was giving instructions to give 200 zuz to Reuven, and after him 300 to Shimon, and after him 400 to Levi, while Adim were writing down his father's claim that Ploni owed him money, even though they didn't know if it was true, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa that if a Shechimera said, Ploni owes me a mana, Rabbi Meir says, Ha'edim kosim afopisha ein makirim. The Edim may record the claim even though they do not recognize whether the claim is true. Therefore, when his heir presents this document to collect the debt, Tzarkel Haviraya, he must bring proof to the claim since it was not initially investigated. The Chachamim say the Edim cannot record the claim before determining that it's true. Therefore, this document is sufficient proof for the claim. The Gemara teaches in the Machlokes is based on the question whether there's a concern of based in towing, based in erring to allow collection of the document without further proof. Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. So the Simra Daf Kuf Lamed Tes is a blood clot. So here goes. The cardiologist told the man with a blood clot, that must be on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. The cardiologist told the man with a blood clot who just made a wedding that if he doesn't take care of himself, the younger son would have to make their wedding from his estate, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hiniach banim gadoim ukatanim. If the father left older and younger sons, the older sons are not supported with clothing from the undivided estate, and the younger sons are not fed from the estate, since either would disproportionately deplete the estate. Instead, they divide it equally. If the older sons married and funded the expenses from the estate, the younger ones may also marry using money from the estate. If the younger sons say, we'll marry the same way you married, we don't listen to them. Rather, whatever the father gave the older son to marry, he gave, and the younger sons are not entitled to receive the same. The Gemara clarifies that this latter case was when the older brothers received the monies when the father was still alive, and therefore the monies were considered a gift. So the cardiologist told the man with a blood clot who just made a wedding that if he doesn't take care of himself, his younger sons would have to make their wedding from his estate, while the newlywed would be fine because he's a yorish and a lokeach in his wife's possessions, which reminds us, Rava was asked, if a woman borrowed money without a shtar and used it, and she got married so her husband took possession of her assets, ba lokeach have a yorish have, is a husband considered a buyer or an heir of these assets? A milval pet, an oral loan, cannot be collected from those who purchase property from the borrower, but it is collected from an heir. Rav Ashi concludes that the rabbis treat the husband as either a yorish or a lokeach, and whichever was better for him, they considered him. So the cardiologist told the man with a blood clot who just made a wedding that if he doesn't take care of himself, his younger sons would have to make their wedding from his estate, while the newlywed would be fine because he's a yorish and a lokeach in his wife's possessions, told his father that the other boys would end up begging for food while they support their sisters, which reminds us, the ninth parak begins, Misha meis v'niach banim ubanos. If one died and left behind sons and daughters, b'zman she'nachasim merubim, where the property is abundant, the sons inherited and the daughters are supported from it. Nachasim u'atim, but if the property is inadequate, the daughters are supported and the sons go begging at the doors. Admon objects, because I'm a male, I lose. Rather, they're supported together until the estate runs out. Rav Moshe ben Gamliel agrees with Admon. Daf Kuf Mem. So the simmer Daf Kuf Mem is a camera. So here goes. The photographer who uses camera, that must be more Daf Kuf Mem. The photographer who uses camera to catch a shot of sons jumping for joy when their assets increase in value while their sisters look sad, which reminds us, Gemara says, Pshita merubim v'nisma'atu. It's obvious that if there were initially many assets and they became inadequate because food increased in price or the assets lost value, the heirs already acquired their share in the estate and the daughters cannot collect support from it. Gemara asks, Mu'atim nisrabumai, if there were initially inadequate assets and they increase in value, what is the halacha? Bershus Yorshin Kaimi? Do we say the assets stand in the possession of the heirs, meaning the sons, until the daughters actually collect their support? Hilchach Bershus Yorshin Shabuach, therefore they improved in value in the heirs' possession, and the daughters cannot collect from the additional value. Or perhaps the heirs are removed from the properties earmarked for the daughter's support and do not own the increased value. The Gemara concludes they remain in the heirs' possession. So the photographer who uses camera to catch a shot of sons jumping for joy when their assets increase in value while their sisters look sad was able to capture the almana who reduced the property's value, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmi as Rabbi Avo, does an almana reduce the property's value? Meaning, is his almana's right to support subtracted from the property's value in determining whether there are nechas merubin? Or do we say, since if she would marry, she has no more claim to support, it's not calculated into the estate's value since it's not fixed? The Gemara continues with additional questions that are left unresolved. So the photographer who uses camera to catch a shot of sons jumping for joy when their assets increase in value while their sisters look sad was able to capture the almana who reduced the property's value, trying to comfort her child, the tumtum, who got pushed away by his brothers and sisters, which reminds us that tumtum can be pushed away by sons from their rights and by daughters from their rights for support. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one. Which stuff to discuss what the din is if there were initially inadequate assets in an estate and they increase in value, whether the assets are in the possessions of the heirs? That's on Daf Kuf Mem. Good number two. Which stuff do you want if a Shkimira said, write and give a mana to Ploni, and he died before it was done, we do not carry out his instructions? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. Good number three. Which stuff do the Malchokas of Kinyan HaPeres Kinyan HaGuf and its application to the question of whether one recites the Psukim of Bikurim? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. Good number four. Which stuff do the case of one who had a preference for a daughter more than a son and why he had that preference? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Av. Good number five. Which stuff do the question of an Almana's right to support subtracts from the property's value in determining whether there are Nechasim and Rubin? That's on Daf Kuf Mem. Good number six. Which stuff do the case of Matana Almanas Lachzir, where the recipient was Makdish the gift and then returned it? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Good number seven. Which of the one, if one man says, Ze Achi, this is my brother, the other brothers are not required to share the estate with him? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. Good number eight. Which stuff do we win the Rav Chissa said, Bast Chila Simin Yafel Abanim? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Av. Good number nine. Which stuff do we learn when the order in a Shchimira's gift indicates the recipients acquire sequentially? That's on Daf. Kuf Lamed Ches. Good number ten. Which stuff do we learn a Mezakel Uber Lokana? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Av. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.